Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are joined by our Indians, our Cavs, my fantasy football guru. He is James Rapine. What's up, man?
Hey, JP. How you doing?
Good. I saw that I got to make an adjustment there with D.D. Westbrook, right? You told me D.D. Westbrook. You've told me Herndon. You've told me several guys. And, you know, you are my fantasy football guru, but I don't know that you've actually – I don't think I've actually seen any of your fantasy picks actually come through yet for me yet and, like, really, really work. We're on the start. We're on the precipice of it. It's kind of like – you know how when you get a tip on a gambling game, on a game, it could be like just a random Mac game or anything like that. It doesn't matter whether or not it's right or wrong. What matters is that you just take it when people give it to you. And that's how I feel like you are with your fantasy advice. I'm like, you could tell me anything. And I'm like, all right, that guy's slotted in. Let's see how he goes.
All right, so you need a wide receiver?
No, I think I'll be fine for today. I have Alvin Kamara, and he's now out. I have Odell Beckham Jr., and he's now out because of a bye. Sterling Shepard is out as well, so I'm running low. So that's why I have D.D. Westbrook starting. I also have I have Allen in there as well. Well, I'll be okay. I'll be all right.
Oh, okay. So I thought you were implying that D.D. Westbrook was a scratch. I know he was dealing with that shoulder, and I thought you saw something I didn't. But yeah,
he's healthy today.
He's going to torch the Bengals because their top corners are out. So it's nice weather in Cincinnati. So you're good to go. That's a good start.
All right, good. I'm just letting you give me all sorts of confidence with that. We'll get back to the NFL. I want to go college football with you first, though, James, because here's the thing. I love Ohio State. I've said on Friday they're the most complete team we have in college football right now, offensively, defensively. J.K. Dobbins is 1 or 1A in the running back race. I made a case for him being better than Jonathan Taylor right now, and I'm not saying that as getting out of myself. It's look at the numbers. He's there. The only thing he trails in is touchdowns.
Well, Taylor had a big fumble yesterday, too.
So. Yes, he did, which set up the Illini win coming back down from being a 30.5-point underdog. But
yeah, ridiculous.
I can't put Ohio State at number one, James, and I can't because there's a team called LSU that has wins over Texas and Florida, and it's not Ohio State's fault that I can't because they haven't played the competition, but I can't possibly punish LSU with those type of wins. How do you see it?
That's fair. It's absolutely fair to put LSU ahead because of what you said, because of who they've played so far and what they've done. I mean, when we talk about Ohio State's strength of schedule, Michigan State, a win over them, and a win over my Bearcats, which was, God, it was so ugly. But the Bearcats are 6-1 now, right, in the ranks. So those are the two big wins Ohio State has. Doesn't stack up at this point to LSU. Now, Wisconsin losing yesterday certainly hurts a little bit and hurts the cause, but at the end of the year, that'll shore up a little bit. I do think that LSU is going to lose at least a game later this year, so the Buckeyes will have that going for them. But as of today, you could make that argument. You could make the argument before Tua's injury. I think that Bama's right there, too. I mean, it's pretty open right now, and the Buckeyes are in the mix for sure, and I think it's a good place to be. And it's okay that they're not number one on JP's rankings. It's all right. So hopefully Buckeye fans aren't losing their minds, even after Friday night's big win, when they hear you say that LSU's ahead of them.
Well, I have him as number two. I'm not throwing shade on him. I have him at number two. It's not the worst thing in the world. You know, as long as I can justify why I have him at two, I feel good about myself. Even though James, there's something special about this Ohio State team. I don't know what it is. It's Ryan Day and Justin Fields just clicking on all cylinders. They've made Urban Meyer and Dwayne Haskins look like a thing in the past, and that's okay that we don't talk about him being in the rearview mirror anymore. J.K. Dobbins, as I mentioned, even the defense, Chase Young, on and on the list goes. They're really good. This defense has allowed 10 or fewer points in 6 straight games. They haven't done that since 2006. I can't speak enough good things about Ohio State right now. If you were to find any flaw, where do you see it with this team?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I mean, I don't see one. I mean, they don't look like they have a flaw. Like, we haven't seen it yet because of how dominant they've been. I would say that the thing that is
I don't know if it's impressed me most because we knew how great Justin Fields could be and his potential. And I remember hearing about him last year with Georgia and just how big of a freak he is and how he has such a high ceiling and so much potential. That being said, I think that's it. You're talking about a first-year starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
At some point when the level of competition ramps up, can he deal with that? Will he still be able to shed the tacklers like he did on 3rd and 17 on Friday night, which was a crazy throw? He shed 3 potential sacks against Northwestern and throws a frozen rope for a first down on 3rd and 17. Like, that's special. Can you do that against the LSUs in the college football playoff? Will you be able to do that next week against Wisconsin? Suddenly that looks like a completely different game because of yesterday's loss to Illinois. But I think that's it. You're talking about a first-year starter. And then the other thing is Ryan Day. It's still, you're talking about a first-year head coach. What happens when it's 21-21 and it's 3rd and 3? You know, it gets a little tighter when you're in close games. The Buckeyes really haven't had to deal with that yet, and at some point this season they will. That's what I worry about. I don't really question that defense. I think that defense is legit. It's what we thought it could potentially be last year. And you're right, they're arguably the most complete team in the country. But what happens when a young head coach and a young quarterback, when their backs are against the wall or when they are dealing with pressure in big-time moments? I think that's probably the only concern I see or foresee for the Buckeyes.
All right, James, we'll move on. I want to get to a story that kind of cross-pollinates college and the NFL, and that is Urban Meyer on Friday saying that he would absolutely be open to taking the Dallas Cowboys coaching job if an offer came his way. Like, that job is pegged for Lincoln Riley, but this is kind of fun that he just kind of put that out there and said, hey, you know what? That Cowboys gig, you're America's team. Jerry Jones doesn't really fire people. You got the best setup. You got Ezekiel Elliott. You got Dak Prescott. I'd be interested in that one. I didn't see that coming out of Herb.
I didn't either. Jerry Jones should fire anyone and everyone to get Urban Meyer right now.
Wow. Just like that.
Including it. Oh, I would. Yeah, and obviously you're not going to do it midseason, but unless the Cowboys go make the NFC title game, you can make that argument. I mean, Jason Garrett's been there for a decade plus, never made a deep playoff run. You had Tony Romo. Now you have one of the most talented teams in the game. I mean, Dallas is loaded talent-wise, both sides of the football. Obviously, we know about the weapons with Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott, who's in his prime, and I get it, you got to put weapons around him, but they've certainly done that. No, I would go get Urban. I think he's one of the top 5 or 6 football coaches in the country, and that includes pro, college, whatever you want to say. So, yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he came out and said that, I don't know what that is. Like, there's always a strategy behind that. Maybe it's so he can get that USC job and get a bigger offer than he would already get. I don't know. Maybe he really does want to be the Cowboys head coach, and if so, Jerry Jones should make it and do that, make that move at the end of the year. I'm all about it. That would be fun.
James, I said earlier, I think John Dorsey is responsible for 4 signature moves. One is drafting Baker, 2 is hiring Freddie, 3 is trading for Odell, 4 is the Kareem Hunt signing.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at a lot of those differently than maybe we would have 7 or 8 months ago. They've changed. I think the perception on John Dorsey has changed as well. Do you still have blind faith in John Dorsey when he makes decisions, or is this one of those where now maybe we proceed with a little bit more caution?
No, I think you should proceed with more caution because blind faith is that's how you're going to get your heart broke. You know, you got to look at it logically. And I think logically, even in the moment, the Zeitler deal, right? The Vernon for Zeitler swap was something. And I know it ended up being combined, but originally it wasn't. That was questionable. And we were like, really? They're going to give up their arguably and probably their best offensive lineman to get an edge rusher and really put all this their eggs in the Austin Corbett basket, which was questionable at best. So you had Freddie Kitchens. As much as we like him, and there's a difference between liking his personality and liking that he's a coach that you think you could go have a Budweiser with or go have a beer with, mm-hmm. and chop it up with and it'd be funny, versus him being a successful head coach. And he skipped steps. John Dorsey had the faith in him to skip that coordinator step, go from position coach to interim coordinator to head coach. And we've seen some growing pains over the first 6 weeks. I don't think those growing pains are over. So, yeah, I certainly wouldn't put blind faith in him. But when you look at the Browns' 20-year history and the failures they've had, I think Dorsey certainly has made a lot of good moves, including Baker Mayfield. And he's going to have a couple weeks of a lesson that now. He's going to have about 10 days here to figure out how to fix that offensive line a little bit. and make some moves to hopefully give the Browns the talent boost they need, because clearly they're going to be out-coached almost every week. They're going to need to be that much better talent-wise than their opponents if they're going to make a run. I think that that's something Dorsey is going to have to deal with right now as Freddie Kitchens is making his way through the growing pains of a first-year head coach, especially with his lack of experience.
And, James, we do have news today on a bye week Sunday, which is always nice. You know, Sundays during the Browns season typically is the time you sit back, you wait for the Jason Lockenfora bomb in olden years, you know, where he would just come through and all of a sudden it'd be week eight and you're like, oh, hey, all right, fine. Let's just let's get us another game against the Bengals. And then all of a sudden Jason Lockenfora would come through and just hit the atomic bomb button and just kind of explode everyone all at once and be like, all right, so this guy sucks, this dysfunction. We don't have that anymore, and it's nice. But today, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that initially the Rams had wanted Joel Bitonio for Marcus Peters was going to be the deal. I'm so happy that John Dorsey didn't make this trade, but I understand what the Rams wanted to do. You couldn't possibly think, with the way this offensive line is, that we would give up Joel Bitonio.
No, not at all. And I think maybe their goal was to get an Austin Corbett in exchange for Marcus Peters. And I read that report, and it was basically, hey, the Browns decided against acquiring Peters. And when you look at their depth in that secondary, it makes sense. Like, where does he fit? I have no idea where he would fit into it. Is he taking snaps away from Greedy Williams now that he's healthy, or Denzel Ward? He's in a contract year. So instead they get a draft pick. Who knows? Maybe they flip that over the next couple of days and try to get an offensive lineman. But, yeah, it's interesting for sure. And I guess one thing that would give me a little bit more faith in John Dorsey is, although he's not just going out and getting big names or acquiring talent that he's already drafted, right? Like, we've seen that. We've seen, obviously, you mentioned Kareem Hunt earlier in this interview. We've seen him go out and get OBJ and make some of these moves. Well, Marcus Peters is a big name, and he could have made another splash instead of a fifth-round pick, it sounds like. It's not like the Rams got a lot. He got a special teams linebacker from the Ravens for Peters, you know? So I think Corbett would have got it done, and I think it's a testament to Dorsey that he's not just falling in love with past guys that he's drafted or has a history with in big names. So he's looking at it a little differently than that. And I think that's good if you're a Browns fan. And obviously, holding on to Bitonio, like he's one of your untouchables if you're going to win this year, right? I think that's pretty safe to say.
Oh, it would have been miserable if he didn't go down that road, James. It really would. I mean, it would have been one of the worst things you could find. What is your 1 o'clock game? What are you watching today?
Oh, dude, it's a bye week, man. You got to do a little red zone, You know, watch a bunch of different games. I will be paying attention to. I mean, there's
so locally. Well, locally we'll have the Raiders and the Packers on CBS. We'll have the Vikings and the Lions on Fox. So you'll just do a cross in between and then just red zone it up, because I like that mix as well. The red zone will be the main focus.
Yeah, but like Raiders and Packers, it actually might be a pretty decent game, honestly. And I'll keep my eye on it, and I'll keep my eye on some other games as well on the 1 o'clock slate. But yeah, it's a red zone type of day. It's just for me. Especially the guy giving you fantasy advice, I'll make sure D.D. Westbrook's having a decent game. Leonard Fournette was in my stardom list. Hopefully he has a decent game. So I'll be watching, keeping track of all my fantasy stars as well. But, yeah, I'll be keeping track on all the games. Just kind of be a liberal arts major in me, man. You got to be well-versed. You got to watch them all.
Yeah, that's what we'll say the liberal arts degree is. It's well-versed. By the way, the 4 o'clock game is the Ravens-Seahawks, so you'll be able to – you can sink yourself into the couch for that one, because that'll be a fun one. That's no red zone. That's just go at it, because it's Ravens-Seahawks. It'll be good.
And I think the Ravens win that game.
Why you got to do that to me?
Break bad news. I think the Ravens win that. I think
right now I was grossly way wrong on Lamar Jackson is what I'll say right now. I'm going to wait and see, and we'll – let time do more tell and all, whatever you want to say. But for right now, I was grossly wrong in Lamar Jackson. I did not think it would work out nearly as well as it has. And he just continues to be – I mean, he was built like a string bean when he first came in, though. Like, he's a different player today than what he was when he first entered the league by leaps and bounds. And I got to credit him that, even though I don't want to. And I almost want to puke giving him credit. But he's earned it.
He's good. He's good. He's electrifying. And I thought his ceiling was a better throwing – Michael Vick, especially in this league where it's more spread than it was, less physical than it was when Vic came in the league in 2001, and we're seeing that. I mean, the Ravens committed to it. People question them, and it's looking like they got a steal. Like everyone, yeah. Every week seems to rank the quarterbacks in that draft class. I don't care about that. It looks like Lamar Jackson was an extremely good value at the end of that first round. And the Ravens, of course the Ravens, right? I mean, I love watching Lamar, but he ends up on the Ravens. I hate the Steelers. I hate the Ravens. And he ends up in Baltimore, where it looks like he's going to be set up for success for the next decade or so.
Best athlete on every field that he steps on. That's just who he is. Like Demarius Randle, I remember like the lead up to that game, and Demarius was like, "Yeah, I can't catch him." They're like, "How are you going to catch him?" I can't. It's as simple as that. I can't. Anyway, James, great stuff. I appreciate you giving us a couple minutes. Enjoy the game today, man.
Of course, you too, man. Thanks, JP.
Thanks so much. It's James Rapine, brought to us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.